make them in 3 foot diameter and then make multiples of them.
Oh.
And they can keep adding. They say that now it looks like they could multiply the power by 1,000 times.
Oh.
It's really, but the point is that the more they see, the more there is. So it gives us a little comprehension of the,
apparently no change, it's the same, just continuous.
It just, you see more.
Yeah.
So that on the screen, where at first, you know, it looked like our heavens with stars here and there, and then as you went further out, then the screen was more filled with stars and more filled with stars and more filled with stars until the last...
You can still see these, and then more and more and more.
That's right. Until the last that they showed, why the whole screen was almost solid white with stars.
No, thanks.
I'll take one of these. Coconut taffy bar, isn't it?
I can't remember why they were saying that it was so special down in Arizona and New Mexico and northern Mexico. Why is it so special down there?
Well, where they put them, they do have pretty clear air up on those
peaks. I couldn't remember what it was about.
You have clean air here too, pretty well, and then. And dry, I suppose. They have less clouds because it's a desertous country. So they have more clear nights
and
for
less
observation.
Ground light, black.
You know, around these cities, you go out where this lights are in the earth. Your vision, you look up there, you can't see stars because there's too much light down here.
That's right. Of course, these are out away from
the
cities.
And the machinery could do it.
They're out away from the cities about 50 miles, I think, and on the mountain peaks, you know.
That must be something.
Yes, I would like to go down. It's open to the public from 10 till 4.
Where is that?
South of Tucson.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I'm going.
I really want to go sometime too. I think it would be proper.
When we come down through
there,
okay.
I want to go too.
Those astronomers were so excited. They just could hardly express it, and they said, "Every day you're seeing something that hasn't been seen before because of the new instruments that they have to work with." They said you don't look through the telescope.
It's all right. I just don't want to pull the cord there.
Is that too warm there?
No, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, now we're with Millie.
Okay.
Try and help me remember about Tucson to ask you about some folks at Tucson later on.
Where was that scripture now?
Well, it's Zechariah 14. It's the
14:7, wasn't it?
He read. Mm-hmm. And it's verses 6 and 7 that say that that the light shall not be clear in the dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And that probably represents the end of an age. But which one?
I think it's a picture of during the millennial age. Now, the margin says for the word clear, it says precious. And I looked the word up in the concordance, and that's right, it's precious or rare. So this says a little different, gave me a different thought. Now, the margin also says for 3, and it shall come to pass in that day that it shall not be clear in some places and in other dark places, and in other dark places of the world.
Oh.
Now, the word clear, if we bring in the thought then of precious or rare, we think of the light of truth would be easily obtainable in that day. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be precious or rare, nor dark. And that word, we looked it up, means congealed or thick or dark, so it'd be made plain. And I got more sense out of it that way.
As you said then a little bit ago, that it won't be clear in places and dark in other places.
Would be in harmony with the picture above there of the sun shining in there. So it wouldn't be rare or precious from from the standpoint that some could have it and some couldn't.
Yeah.
But it would be available for all.
Because it's that way.
But the end of the seventh one says, when it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light.
It shall be light, because I think then it'd be in harmony with the thought of that eventually the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth as the waters cover the great deep. Yeah, would be available. Well, and then I think that carries on with the thought, and it shall be in that day that living waters, well, living waters are light or truth again. I mean, it's, you know, the living waters is going to be turning a pure language, because it's by means of the truth that we come to the knowledge of salvation and the knowledge of the will of God, the knowledge of redemption, and the knowledge of how to come into harmony with the Lord. In other words, it's the reveals to us the paths of life. And it should be in that day that living waters should go out from Jerusalem, and we believe that would be the kingdom picture, the New Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former and half of them toward the hinder sea, which would, again, for the whole land. And in summer and winter shall it be, which would be a continuous supply. And,
you don't think it's indicating the beginning of the age when it'll begin to be like this?
And, no, it's a progressive, you know, just like the human family will walk up the highway of holiness, that's going to be a progressive work.
In the scripture that was mentioned the other day, and then the lightning as the sun comes up from the
earth. Yeah, now that word lightning is Greek astrope, and it isn't really lightning, it's the bright shiner or the sun.
Lightning and lightning.
Yes, enlightening. That's it. It's really. It's the word astrope, which is used for star. The word star, well, the sun is a star. It's a light giver, and it's a star. It is a star. The sun of we refer to the sun of righteousness arising with light.
Would you like some coffee?
No, thank you. That tastes very good. Very good. Well, was that your question?
That one question about one. The book and the books. So the books is the Word of God. Is that right? And
I think the books is plural.
God's memory, you might say. Or
I think the books plural, because Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge them. In other words, would instruct them in the last day. And just the same as it instructs us now, when it's revealed to the world, it will instruct them. And also the resurrection is pictured, because it says the dead, both small and great, would stand before. So all would have that opportunity, I think, in harmony with what it's saying here, that all would have that opportunity.
Excuse me, Brother Hurston, did you say the books was the Bible or the book?
I think the books, plural, says they shall be judged out of the things written in the books. I like the picture in the holy of the tabernacle with two piles of showbread, six in each pile, and it was the 66, I think, nicely represents the 66 books of the Bible. Yeah. And the candlestick, the light coming from actually the oil. So the light of the Holy Spirit shines over against the showbread and was the source of the lightning. So also the Holy Spirit enlightened our minds to understand the bread here.
What translation do you use? Is that the
King James? I use the common version for general use, but a number of other versions, and particularly the concordance for actually looking up the meanings of the words. But the reason I like the authorized or King James version is that for most people, it's the most widely known of all. They can usually, if they have any knowledge of the scriptures at all, they can discern when you're reading scripture from when you're giving your own thoughts, when you're talking. In other words, they're more apt to recognize scripture from the King James Version, recognize that you're quoting scripture because they're familiar, have to be more familiar. Now that, with so many modern translations coming out, that may not always be true, but generally I felt that it has been true in the past, and so we like to do that. The other reason is that I find a harmony between Old Testament and New Testament uses of symbols that you're not so apt to find in the modern translations.
Right.
Now here,
those are important things.
Because the Old Testament, where we've come to know what these symbols mean. So when we see that, we realize the symbol in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, why it links it up for us, you know, to do that. You know, whether it's gold or silver, if it's symbols or of the types of the tabernacle or all the various things, if it uses mountains for kingdoms and silver for truth and gold for these, the different things.
If they change any of those, they lose it, don't they?
You're not so apt to have your mind connect up with other scriptures where it's used. You see what I mean? That's you can do it that way. So while we study others, I prefer to use it for those reasons in, like in talks or
I lose, if I don't keep familiar with King James words, I lose the use of the concordance.
That's true.
Do you use the Scofield ever?
I don't use the Scofield.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's common. I've looked at it a number of times, but I found so many comments that I didn't agree with.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
I thought, well, why wade through all that?
Yeah.
I'd rather go more directly to the scriptures and the concordance.
Once in a while he comes up with a real good comment. And
I'm sure he does.
And then you wonder.
He must have it all up with some of his
own. I'm sure he does. We were talking, I guess Ernie and I were today talking about, well, you know, it's not surprising that we find others that in the churches that believe some of the things we believe. Because after all, it's all based on the same Bible. But at the same time, there are a lot of things that we don't see the same, and others don't.
I think a lot of these fellows have read Brother Russell's writings.
Yes, I heard one on the radio. Heard one on the radio the other day that you were almost sure they had, and yet how fouled up you can get.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. But you've been almost. In fact, some of Schofield's comments, I believe he just picked them right out of Brother Russell's writings. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, you find one that even sounds like Brother Russell writing.
Brother Ed talked to a minister in Phoenix one time that he knew. The fact is, I think he saw Brother Russell's other volumes in his study. And he had quite a talk with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, some are, they just use them for reference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to prove or appoint or disprove one or something.
Well, Brother Hershey, I wonder what some of these ministers think. Well, I like the 35th chapter of Isaiah. How do they explain that about the highway of holiness? What do they think of that?
Well, I don't think they think of it very much, and I don't mean to be critical or mean about it either, but the best illustration I have is a number of years ago, you remember that Brother Paul Davis had the opportunity to take the young people's class at the Presbyterian Church in San Luis Obispo. You've heard about that. Something happened then. So for a number of years, in fact, that's a number of brethren came into the truth as a result of that.
Homer Hamlin came in.
Homer Hamlin did, and Sister Coker down in Palm Desert, who's still faithful. Oh, yeah, Elfrida Coker, Dorothy Jackson, who Esther is mentioned was meeting with them. Again, Esther Hull mentioned. There were a number. There was quite a number. I'm not thinking of all of them. I mean, whether Brother Hudnall did, or I think so. But anyway, this went on for quite a number of years. And there a number of them came to quite a knowledge of the scriptures, and they wondering where Paul got all this thing, you know, so forth. And Paul was well versed in the scriptures. But anyway, time came when they had a change of ministers there. And so they didn't want to let that go on any longer. And they asked if they could have a discussion in which each would present their views and their understanding of the scriptures. And so it was they agreed to it. There were three ministers, and there was Paul Davis and Russell Pollock and was it Ed? I guess maybe it was Ed. Well, and they had certain categories, you know, they were gonna discuss. And they were to have 20 minutes 20 minutes for each division of it, I think it was, between them. Well, getting back then to the point of your question about the highway of holiness, when it came to restitution, they had nothing to say. It was just so noticeable they had nothing to say. And of course the brethren set forth the hope of the kingdom and all the restitution. So it was a and as a result, I think it quite a few when they pulled out then, you know, when Paul was no longer going to be their leader.
Paul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't they? Because they saw the difference. They saw the truth. So I think that's it. I think the two great things that the nominal systems or the churches, and we don't mean this harshly, but do not see, no matter how sincere they may be, is the mystery of the church.
No, they don't.
The two salvations.
Yeah.
To see the mystery of the church and the real work of this age, and to see the glorious hope of restitution for the world, the opportunity.
And if I understood Brother Paul Davis properly, when the new ministry came in, where they informed him that if he cared to continue to study his service there, that he'd have to preach what they set forth, that he could get it on to preach his own views.
I think that's right.
Him,
yeah.
No, he just
one time.
He just quietly said, "Well, he was invited to lead this class, and as long as he could do it, as he saw the scriptures, well, he was happy to do it. And if they no longer wanted that, then I was okay too." So then these others went out with him the next Sunday when he didn't go. Well, they went out with.
I think they did.
Paul Davis.
So they had. And then enlarge their class there.
Quite a class at St.
Yeah.
Louis
Episcopal. Years ago, Brother Proctor of New Bedford, Massachusetts, told us of the experience that he knew a minister in the area there where he was in Massachusetts, and something came up where they needed someone to help out in their church for a service. I don't know whether it was illness or sickness or something, and it had to be someplace else. And this minister asked Brother Proctor if he would take it.
Well.
And Brother Proctor said, well, he says, you know what I will teach. Yes, he says, I know what you'll teach. He says, I'll have to teach what I believe is the truth. And he says, yes, he says, I know what you'll teach. He says, it's the truth. Brother Proctor says, well, why don't you teach it? But yet, we know that there are very many sincere,
yeah,
sincere people. And I never think we should make a blanket condemnation of ministers any more than any other group. Because I like what someone said recently. He said, all generalizations are false, including this one. Yeah, but that's fact, because we know that there are sincere ministers. They marry them, they bury them, they visit them, they counsel them, They help them. They try to teach them as best they know, and they do all these things. They have their committee meeting to death, and they engage in social work and charitable work and so forth like this. There are many sincere people. I don't think we can do that, but we do make a distinction between truth and error. I think we have to do that.
I went to one funeral that an Episcopalian minister was preaching the service for his wife's mother. And it was when we were in the Eastern Star, and they were Eastern Star people, and we went for, not because it was close, I didn't know the lady who had died, but at any rate, we knew some of the others. And he stood up there and preached a good restitution sermon.
Matthew 15:28.
Read it. The scripture. What did you read in the start of it? When the scripture starts?
The verse? Yeah. We've forgotten it already, so read the first verse.
Well, read the word. I thought you wanted to know where they were. I'm sorry. Okay. Great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt.
Thank you. I think it's always nice to do that. We mentioned that to little Andy.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh. I told him when Ernie was at the stable downstairs and asked Andy if he'd read the. He says, "You give your choice. You have a choice: the manner or the resolve." And Andy says, "Well," he says, "this, I think I'll take the manna, you know." And Ernie repeated, "That's kind of cute, I really thought." He said, "Yeah," he says, "you have a choice." So he took the manna. Well, then I was sitting next to him, so I said, "Well, Ernie, you're going to read the manna in the morning." I think it's nice to read. There's a good way to do that is to... I said, "May I give you a suggestion?" I think I asked him first. And said to read the text and the comment, and then read the text again. I said that's a help to us, you know. We like to do that, and help to remind us of the text of Scripture. So I noticed he did that.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did it very nicely.
No, Andy refused his dad.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's funny.
And Ernie was talking to Alan, and he said, "I get." No, Alan was talking to Ernie. He says, "I'm going to have Andy read it." He says, "Andy said he wouldn't do it." Ernie says, "Let me have it for now."
That's
what he did.
That's the way it worked.
He just walked in and he says, "I'll give you two choices."
I didn't hear that. He did pretty well,
didn't he? Yeah, yes, he did. He wrote it, read it very nicely.
Growing up, when you see him do
that. Yeah, read it very, very nicely.
I better get home.
Yeah, more pleasure in that work, too. I know you'll feel better when you get through with it.
After we found out. You know, after we first believed, and then after we believed, and after we first believed, after we found out what took place tonight, that our heart bleeds for her.
why don't we ask Brother Elton to close with a word of prayer before we go?
Our loving, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. As we bow our heads and hearts before thee, once again tonight, in humility and thanksgiving for all thy gracious promises in this consecrated home, for the fellowship, for the study that we have had. Guide us and direct us as we go our various ways. Forgive us wherein we have fallen short this day in every thought, word, and deed. We give thee all the praise and thanks and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for having us here.
Take our love to God.
It was our pleasure.